very thankful to be with you this morning. And very thankful for God's protection and His mercy and His blessing and opportunity this morning to ask the Lord's blessing upon a little one. And I'm not going to go into a lot of scriptures because the sermon today will be based upon this that's forthcoming. But we are in the Word of the Lord. And he loves the Lord. It says, for of such is the kingdom of God. And there are many such precious scriptures that are an example to us of in accepting in order to be pleasing to our Father in heaven. It is that important that Jesus made that example many times and talked about how precious they were, even to their angels, the Father. And savoring little children is a gift of God is a very important thing. When we were ministering to many over in India, there was a lot of young girls that would come and they wanted you to pray for them because they wanted children. And yet there were some that come and the one thing they didn't have was the husband. They wanted children. And I said, well, it's a special blessing. It's something you're looking forward to. But let's not get the cart in front of the horse. And we will pray that you have a godly husband. But yes, may the Lord bless you with children. And they savor and love them very much. And as ministry, this is one of the wonderful things that we get to do. There are many things that we need to do as ministry, the gospel of Christ. And there are many covenants of the Lord that we minister throughout. One of the wonderful things that we get to do is the blessing of little children. And especially the honor of blessing a grandchild. And so, I won't take any more of our time, and I'd ask that Emily and Jordan come over to the last one. Father in heaven, half of this earth, did not long ago behold your face there in the altar. Dearest Father, let your blessing rest upon this little one with ashen bricks. Is she, Father, being brought forward to you for your blessing? Dear Father, we hold it up to you, whose non-power, not our fidelity desire, that you will. That your special blessing has come. Because it is said in your scriptures that the prophet of the children. Father, that you will bless her all the days of her life. She is pledged in faith. And Father, we know that the blessing upon this little one must also rest with her parents, teacher, and the raising of the Lord. She brought her faith. Protect her with God. In the time that she'll come to you upon her own, faithfully do. And accept the gospel and the will for her. walk with her all days of her life. She will also choose a godly man, and vice versa, that which is designed for. Father, we thank you and we praise you. And we ask for grace and leave to see that blessing that will upon her, her parents, her lady, and those who have faith. I praise you for the very gifts that you give us, that of your children. And we say with that is what is the gospel. The example to us of how we should come to you. In his name, Jesus, do the honor and the glory and praise that you did to you. Jesus, holy and precious. Good job. At this time, our brother Jerry is after administration. Ask our brother Dennis and Friedman. Brother Dennis, do you have a role with him?
Serve you, come to church. come into that. Our district for home paid for the communities. We have having to emergency fire Vermont. You can't move it. Well, there's a time.
Once again, very thankful to be with you, and feel very blessed. And I'm going to indulge my brothers if I could this week, because I'd like to talk about the precious gift of precious faith and our baby blessing. But for next week to give more of an update on the trip to India, showing some pictures and things. And but asking Christian your prayers, so I thought it would be a wonderful example to us as we talk about a childlike faith. Because we know that this is very pleasing to our Father in heaven, and how the example that we are to come to Him. And we want, it's always an example to learn what that is about. And we're always seeking to do, because that's pleasing Him. And in order to accomplish what is in His will for us. And so, in Mark, in the 10th chapter, in the 16th verse, it said they brought young children to Him, that He should touch them. And disciples rebuked those that brought them. When Jesus saw it, He was much displeased. He said to them, "Suffer little children to come unto Me, forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And so He took them up in His arms, and He put His hands upon them, and He blessed them. It's a very neat thing. It's a very powerful thing. And that this is why we practice this in the Church of Christ. And, you know, where the little children that they're also brought to us as we were overseas. And as we're praying for them, they want them prayed over. They may use the common term weakness. But I was also adding my words of desire. I believe that Jesus would have taught them that they would be their baby. Maybe they never had a chance of a baby blessing. But praying over them, that the Lord would look after them. But He took them up in His arms, He laid His hand upon them, and He blessed them. It's a very precious thing that the Lord does. In Matthew, in the 18th chapter, in the 10th verse, He tells us that, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." And He's showing us the importance of the gifts that they're given, that we are given. I'm not very, you know, I don't think God is pleased what we've done with it in our country. I ask Him for your prayers. For our country, they may do that which is right. There are many that do love the little children. And but we see how powerful and how important that it is. Many have said that they have a guardian angel. Well, this is what Scripture talks about, isn't it? I believe that there are eight angels, as we'll be reading in further Scripture. to the righteous, even as well, to look at angels. Some, you know, have said they've seen angels. I believe that there are that is true, and I believe that sets us apart. And not that many don't believe this, but that we fully expect that these gifts can happen. We believe that. And you have said, I know in the church they said they've seen angels. It's a precious thing. We serve an unchanging God. Same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, this is a precious thing. And we expect, along with the other gifts of God, that He will give to us. They will only be done away according to the unbelief of the children of men. And so, we have faith. Turn with me, if you will, over the book of 3 Nephi, chapter 8. 3 Nephi, chapter 8. I'm going to read verses 23 to 26. Page 649, Book of Mormon. There's one of the passages in Scripture talking when the Lord was with the church that was established upon the North American continent, and particularly down in the Yucatan area. But we find a real neat experience where the Lord had said in verse 22, that he said, blessed are ye because of your faith. Now my joy is full. And I think that's such a neat thing when the Lord himself is talking about their faith, and he said that his joy was full. Would he have such joy over us, about our faith? It's like, you know, it's a good question, isn't it? But when he had said these words, he wept, and the multitude bare record of it. He took their little children, one by one, and blessed them, and prayed unto the Father for them. And when he had done this, he wept again. And he spake unto the multitude, and saith unto them, behold, your little ones. And as they looked, behold, they cast their eyes toward heaven, and they saw the heavens open, and they saw angels ascending out of heaven, as if it were in the midst of fire. And they came down and they encircled those little ones about. And they were encircled about with fire, and the angels did minister unto them. And the multitude did see and hear and bear record. And they know the record is true, for they all of them did see and did hear, and every man for himself. A very powerful example of, once again, the Lord blessing little children, angels ministering to them. And once again, we believe those things are certainly possible today. He said we also must be careful that we are entertaining strangers, for some of entertain angels unaware. I have my own testimony, some of you have heard, and I won't go into that today, but about beholding of angels. They're true. They're very true. We believe that they, as we look at the book of Revelations, while the angel flying with the everlasting gospel to deliver to them upon the earth, that when the before the Book of Mormon was translated, that by the mouth of an angel it was declared, you know, where they would find these plates of brass that had been inscribed with the holy gospel of the Lord upon it to be translated, and the ministry restored by the hands of angels in the power of the Lord. And if Jesus taught us that such is the kingdom of God as a little child, then our challenge before us is to try to attain this childlike outlook for living, isn't it? And I'd like to turn with you a little over to 1 Corinthians in the first chapter. 1 Corinthians. First chapter. I'd like to read verses, first of all, 19 through 21. Anyway, he gives us a warning about the worldly type of wisdom that's out there, not the spiritual type of wisdom, that we can have, that I'm gifted by, if you will. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise, and where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God the world, by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how not that many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God hath chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring not things that are, that what no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who are made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And when he talks about the weak things of the world and so on, it's the humble and the meek and contrite spirit that's pleasing to the Lord, that we're able to be visited of the Holy Ghost through that straight and narrow gate. It is by that meek and humble contrite spirit. And it is that has fooled the wise of our world today. The simple is confounds the wise. You know, and when we are meek and humble and submit ourselves before the Father, you know, He can work with us. But he can't if we're of a haughty, rebellious spirit, you know, seeking our own will and our own way in our life. You know, how's he going to work with you? The Apostle Paul said that when he was weak, he was strong. Why? Because it's God's strength. It's God's power. But we're applying to the only power there is. And he's willing to bless us. He has a way that he wants us to come to him in that simplicity of the example of the Lord child. Many have thought that life would be so much easier when we grow older. Many people seem to think that, don't they? Just put it on cruise control. We've learned more. You know, people you want to maybe earn a living. You've got a few dollars and so on. We think things get a lot easier. Well, we're always continually learning how that's not true, don't we? We aren't promised a parade, as many say. Many people think they are today. Many people think that they're more special than what they think you ought to be, and so on. You aren't promised a parade. We can become so much more difficult because of our choices and attitudes and self-serving will. Isn't that the truth? You know, I know that I have learned that every time I go running ahead of the Lord or heading out of a situation on my own, you know, many times I've got every ability to follow things up. I've got every ability to follow things up. And I think we learn just how much more there is out there. We've just learned how much more there is. The more we learn about the Lord, we learn about where he's already been. You know, his ways, that say, are past finding out. I think that when we learn to appreciate his holiness and majesty and glory and accept him in loving service, if you will, and acceptance, that the more that we can enjoy our life. That he's given us, the life that he's prepared for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. But When we strive to walk contrary to Him and rebel in our ways and not seeking with full diligence and purpose of heart, then life can get a lot more difficult. It's a lot more difficult. But life's not a competition, you know? What about contentment? What about joy? The Apostle Paul talked in many instances about being content, you know? And we've got to be careful that we're not robbed of joy. I want to talk about we may play games as Christians and have fun one with another. And I believe that Christians can have more fun by accident than a lot of people do on purpose. And I believe that's the truth. We must be careful. We're not always striving that we have to get over another or to have to always be the one that wins. Yeah. The gospel is not that way. What shall we win? You know, especially with our brothers and sisters. You know, as we look at the scriptures, I like to look at Hebrews 12 chapter. Verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Boy, that seems to be different, isn't it? With patience, the race that is set before us. It seems like a different sort of race, isn't it? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The sin is so easily beset us, you know, that especially with brothers and sisters, we must be careful, and that we in love, preferring one another, is what the scripture tells us, isn't it? In love, preferring one another. Helping one another, encourage one another, lifting one another up. That we want, it's such an example, I believe, and necessity that as we're all, you know, striving for eternal life, that gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, that if one were to fall in our midst, would you leave him behind and head for the finish line? And we would want to pick them up, and we don't. We would not. The Lord says, "I would that none should perish, but all should come to repentance." We'd stop and pick them up. You know, I joke, you know, laughingly, that we're kind of like the Marines in the Church of Christ. We don't leave any behind. We try the best we can to pull everyone along. To encourage one another. Like the scripture says, while it is day, while we have opportunity, encouraging one another. If one were to fall by the wayside, we would go back. If Jesus would go back for the one out of 99, and the angels of heaven rejoice over one sinner that repenteth, where are we? And we got to be careful that it lead to false pride and covetousness, contention, that is the world's form of competition, if you will. Also, over in Hebrews 13 chapter and the 5th verse, which it says, our conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Without covetousness and content. Are we content? Are we content with these things? There are so many other situations that we can come into, even world events. There is terrorism. There are ways, there are immorality in our country. The things that we can look at, we can dwell upon, and we can be robbed of our joy. Jesus said, I've come that you may have joy, and that your joy may be full. What about contentedness? Are you content? Are you content with yourself? Are you content with God? Do you have joy through Jesus Christ? The world tells us we have to have more and more. Strive for more. Strive for the mastery over so many things. You know, our job, workplace today seems to promote that a lot over getting one over another. And people need to sharpen their pencil in order to be a little bit better in order to get a good job. And we know the things that we do need to do in order to provide for a living. The world seems to provide a competition, one over another. And Jesus talked about the love of many waxing cold. Be careful with those things, don't you? Over in the book of Philippians, in the 4th chapter, Philippians 4 and 11. Once again, the Apostle Paul stated, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Are we content with the simple things and things work? Are we content that the body of Christ will flourish continually and spiritually? Are we content with our brothers and sisters to worship with them? You know, are we content in these things? I know my family has joked with me that through the years, I thought a good thing was to maybe get a new tool. Seemed like a sick and twisted thought because it means more work, doesn't it? I've always been pleased that when something just works, just something, you know, if something's broken, let's fix it so that it may work. And God is pleased when the body of Christ flourishes. Generosity, and it goes along in the name of Jesus Christ. There's a pocket watch that I have at home. It's well over 100 years old. And it works, I believe, just as well as it did when it was new. Because it's made very delicately, very intricately. You wind it up, and it does work. But it won't if I didn't take care of it. It wasn't taken care of for that many years. Someone had it before me. I'm certainly not 100 years old. They look at me so long. But it's a delicate balance. And so is the body of Christ. And when we approach one another in meekness and humbleness and contriteness and so on, one another, preferring one another, there are many things that I had to say as a ministry. I'd rather take a beating than have to say it. But I wouldn't be any good to you otherwise. And I've tried to use the recipe, how would the words that I have to say fall upon the ears of another? And there are many things that I know, many things that I could say that people don't have the right to hear. Or should, because it could hurt. How delicate that is. And that's why he talked about the body of Christ, being one body, hand, the eye, the foot, and so on. How delicate a balance it is. How fast and how easily it can fall out of harmony. Our Father's love for us. 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear that we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. We're striving unto that Christ-like image in our life. Doth yet appear what we shall be. We're enduring in Jesus Christ, enduring in his love, enduring in his gospel, enduring in his loving care, and growing. And we were talking about gifts this morning, talking about talents and what they've given. That we may use them in exemplary unto virtue, but they are to serve one another in love, serve one another, preferring one another, and to love one another. That's what the gospel of Christ is all about. It's not about things in this world. And I like to think the older that I've gotten, the more that I've learned, that it's not about things. It's not about possessions. It's not about things. It's about people. And we can get that turned upside down, can't we? We can. We need to be careful. It's about people. You know, I said maybe one of the hard things that I've had to learn. You know, when it comes to, I spent 30-some years in the trades. I could take a tool out of my box and I could work on something. And I could make it work. And you tune it till it goes out the door, till it works right. You may have to go out in the field, you know, and because the customer misused it and they blew the hydraulics or whatever on it, and you go fix it and so on, and you make it work again. But you can take tools with you. Most times more than you need. But the one thing that you can't fix is people. God knows how to fix people. That's what His gospel is designed to do, and His Spirit, and how those things work. And we're just learning how to try to apply those things, and as a ministry, to do it lovingly, in the way that the people will respond. And that they'll want to serve you more diligently. You know, there's an old adage. Some of our seem like it was our machinists that seem to be the most bullheaded. And he said, you know, you can't force me and pull me through a barn door, but you can coax me through a knothole. And that's the truth. You tell somebody they can't do something or push them towards something, what happens? See? But Jesus came into the heart. And as we talks about in the book of John, he says that we will come unto them and make our abode with them. That's the way of the Holy Spirit. We're going on to that Christ-like image. Please turn with me over to the book of 1 John, 4th chapter. Verses 7 through 21. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. I remember this verse. What comes to mind when I read this, our brother Mike Levert had preached a wonderful sermon on the love of God. Very talented God. God, we use it. We appreciate that. But herein is our love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He was the answer to that perfect sacrifice, that we might be made the righteousness in Him, as it says. Beloved, if God so loved us, we all also to love one another. And no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He had given us of His Spirit, that portion, that witness, that power, that love that He has for us. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. A perfect example of the Father's love to mankind. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, both in Him and He in God. And we have known and believed this love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. You know, you say, how can we have boldness? We stand before the very throne of the Lord. How can we have boldness? How can we present ourselves with that type of situation. It is because, he says, because as he is, so are we in this world. So once again, we have to tie it to that, that Christ-like image. We have grown in his love and in his gospel. We have grown to be like him. And I believe that when we stand before that judgment seat, you know, right today, today I know your features. I know what you look like. You know what I look like. And so on. Do you know exactly what the Lord looks like? Do you know what the Lord Jesus Christ looks like? I don't. I even had a dream of him descending, and it was the answer to a witness to my call. But today, because of my fading memories, that I can't tell you that. And there are renditions or examples of what people think that he looks like by whatever artist. I believe it's that spiritual familiarity that we will know him. That we will know him. And when he comes that we were talking about today about the coming of Christ, you know, and we all have a view of that time frame and so on. There are some that we want the rocks to hide them. There are those that are going to embrace him as that dear friend that they've been waiting to see. They're not ashamed. Because they've kept the word of his gospel and his patience. There is no fear in love. Tell us not to have fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. Fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You know, I don't want torment. I don't want you. I don't want to have torment. I don't want to be squirming in my seat in the principal's office. I remember what that's like. I remember being in the principal's office. I know what that's like. I remember getting a swat or two. I deserve it. I deserve it. But I don't want that. If we keep the word of the gospel, and we're learning what that's about, and we also need to learn what sin is about. We want to stay away from it. That's offensive to God. You know, and the simple thing about lying, the Book of Mormon talks about liars were even punished. My goodness, if they punish liars today, our population would be very thinned out, wouldn't it? Especially the government. I'm not going there. Don't get me started. Regardless. Just lying and untruth. And the reason that God does not like the untruths, and we should strive to tell the truth, is the fact that the one that departed with a third of the host is the father of lies. The devil himself. He's the father of lies. And that's opposite of God, so God does, it's an untruth, but God is a God of truth. And he's no variableness, no shadow of turning. It talks about in the book of James. We love him because he first loved us. And if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment hath we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. The scriptures in many places refer to us as children. Isn't that the truth? 1 John 3:7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. You see, a very bold and broad statement. But we want to learn about what does that right way mean? You know, and the more we may learn about the complexity of many parts of the scriptures, and it's continually learning, we're continually learning, but they must continually bring us back to the throne of the Lord in obedience, humbleness, and meekness, or we've missed them out. Put an oil on them, that the oil of the Holy Spirit is working. It's working. It's got to work in our life. The moving of the Lord in our life. The decision, the correction, how we serve him in our life. How is it working in your life? You say it's a pretty easy thing. to be righteous. As we were reading this morning about the parable of 10 virgins, all of them denoting purity, weren't they? They were all professing righteousness. It takes effort, doesn't it? It takes effort. But you know, Liz talks about 2 Timothy. He said, the Lord has this seal. He knows them that are his. He knows that are his. And we want to know that we are his. As he talks about that boldness in the day of judgment, we had that assurance. That's what we give him, that assurance. We're walking according to the word of his gospel in his word. They also help steer us. You know, we can't know everything in every situation. But that's where the work of the Holy Spirit in our life helps to guide us to do what is right. Stay away from that which is wrong. Because, once again, I guess we think that as we get older and more mature in our life, our mistakes can be more serious. He is pleased when we have learned and grown in his ways, using what he has taught us. Do we use what he has taught us? We have learned. Do we use it? When we find situations that come along, they say, you know, I know that there's a passage that talks about that. I know that there's a piece of information there. I need to use that. Do you find yourself in that? You know, I have found even times when the words of a hymn, you know, maybe a situation was going on, even the words of a hymn, I find it myself singing along with it and realizing that the answer was right there in the hymn that I was singing. Real neat. Real neat. He's pleased when we have learned and we grow in his ways. Please turn with me over to the book of Mosiah, page 218, first chapter, page 218. And we many of us have read the scripture before about how true it is. Verse 120. This is Mosiah 1 and 120. And this is through a very wise king that loved his people. He protected them and took care of them, but as a teacher, you know, as a brother. And he talks about that. Actually, I'm going to go back a verse. For the natural man is an enemy to God, has been from the fall of Adam, will be forever and ever. But if he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, and putteth off the natural man, and becometh a saint, through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, and patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things that the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as the child does submit to his father. Humble, submissive, meek, and humble, patient. That would be a good child, wouldn't it? You know, I wasn't always a good child. You know, when I ask my child what it was like, I'd be more than willing to tell you. You know, and we had very good parents, and taught me very well, very patient. And but I knew when I'd cross the line. And that was important. I knew when I'd cross the line. And if I had punishment coming, I deserved it. A very fair father, and you got punished, you deserved it. And I appreciate every mother, you know. And so, Hebrews 12 and 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we have gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Verily, they, after a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure. I don't know about pleasure. I know when they come upon my before us with children, our children, our two girls. I don't believe there was never any pleasure in that. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, or grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. If they receive it. Now, and what about us? We talk about the children. When people think about children, they think, oh, we must correct them. We must look after them, nurture them, yes. We must also be careful. You know, there is most importantly, the rod of iron, the Word of God. There are reasons that teaching in the gospel is necessary to bring them up in nurture, admonition. Who the Lord is. The best way of correction is an example. What kind of example do we set for them in our life? And in our ways, in our decisions? What kind of example do we set for them? Subjection of the fallen spirits and live. Not only will you might live physically if you listen to what he has both told you or steered you by the way of his spirit, saying, don't do this or go ahead there. Physically, spiritually, live eternally through Jesus Christ. Our God is a God of love. If this is true and the scriptures declare that our goal is to partake in his blessings instead of looking for punishment and correction. Because remember, Jesus said, I've come to give you joy and that your joy may be full. We don't serve a vengeful God, but a loving God. But yet he will look after us, take care of us, and yes, correct us where we need it. But I believe he wants us to look to him in loving attitude. Your God is a God of love. Living in his care. Please turn with me over to 1 Nephi 2. 1 Nephi 2. And this is this picture, of course, a depiction of the tree of life and the fruit of the tree of life being the representation of the love of God through his beloved Son, Jesus. And I'd like to read verses 49 through 54. It came to pass that I beheld a tree whose fruit was desirable to make one happy. It came to pass that it did good forth and partake of the fruit thereof, and I beheld it was most sweet above all that I had ever tasted. Yea, I beheld that the fruit thereof was white, to exceed all the whiteness I had ever seen. As I partook of the fruit thereof, it filled my soul with exceeding joy, great joy. Wherefore I began to be desirous that my family should partake of it also, though I knew that it was desirable of all other fruit. And as I cast my eyes round about that perhaps I might discover my family also, I beheld that a river of water ran along. It was near the tree by which I was partaking of fruit. But you see that the word of God is that rod, that straight rod that leads to the tree, that they could pull themselves along by the word of God to lead to the tree. The word of God is the very representation of Christ himself, the word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is representation. Jesus, I believe my word for Jesus, and it is the Logos, or the Word. And so the Word of Christ. Scriptures say that search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. He said, but they are they which testify of me. We must leave this earth with our Savior planted firmly within our heart and in our mind and in our ways. 1 Nephi 3 and 65. 3 and 65. The first was Lehi seeing the vision of the tree of life. Now as his son wanted to see what his father saw. And so he was allowed to see the same vision, and he spoke of that fruit. And he said, he spake unto me, say, yea, the most joyous to the soul. Actually, I'm going to go back to verse 64. And I answered and said, yea, is verse 62. The angel said unto me, behold, the Lamb of God, yea, even the Son of the Eternal Father. Knowest thou the meaning of the tree which thy father saw? I say, yea, it is the love of God which sheddeth itself abroad in the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore it is the most desirable of all other things. He spake unto me, saying, yea, and most joyous to the soul. At the fruit of the tree, the love of God, most joyous to the soul. And it's a type of joy that the world cannot know. The world cannot know unless they have submitted to the Lord Himself. They have to forsake the nature of the natural man and submit unto the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Father above, that they may be able to know this joy that is prepared for the saints. Prepared for the saints and those that love Him. We live in a world that teaches a love of self and not for others, doesn't it? As a matter of fact, there's a magazine out there. It's called Self. And many people pay attention to themselves in so many ways. We don't want to get into that. But we find in this book in Matthew, in the 22nd chapter. Matthew, in the 22nd chapter. There's my last frame, Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Actually, 36. Master, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor, thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. As it also says in 1 John 3, and 23. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his commandment. A commandment to love one another. But you know, we can have all sorts of a commandment, and we can have it drilled into us that you should love one another. Love one another, love one another. It's something that we grow and attain to be able to love one another. That He can give us that commandment, and we know it's a commandment. It's just like the entrance of the gospel of faith, repentance, and baptism, receiving of the Holy Spirit. We can know that they're commandments, but are we going to partake in something that we need to learn about? And it is a spiritual conviction, it is a devotion, it is out of love for God. Then we will keep His commandments. If we love Him, He says, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. There's one that's a very favorite of mine over in the book of Psalms. Actually, my last scripture, the book of Psalms, 34 chapter. And we're talking about the angel for the children. And I believe that there are angels about us. Sometimes the faithful are allowed to see them. We believe that they'll always be there. And they're at the beckoning of the Lord. First of all, verses 7 through 9. Psalm 34, 7 through 9. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. And there's a different type of fear. It is not man's fear. The fear that comes by destruction and things that man has to offer. The fear of the Lord, the awe-inspiring admonition of His goodness, His power, His mercy, His love. The fear of the Lord, awe-inspiring respect for Him, His reverencing Him. Do we reverence Him in our life? Do we do that? The fear of the Lord. Verses 15 through 18. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut them off from the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. You see the key to being able to accept and to be moved of the Lord, to be worked upon by His love and by His power.
and by his mercy, save us unto be of a contrite spirit. So our challenge is to partake in the love of Jesus Christ in our lives. Teach and model it to our children. And the world will try to apply other thinking later. We put all the best stuff in now. Just use the example. You make jelly. When do you stuff the good stuff in? You do it after it's already set. When you make a jello, you put the good stuff in while it's still pliable, while it's still liquid, don't you? And then you let it set. You know, that's why we try to put the best stuff in our kids now. And, you know, I know we do, teachers do all wonderful things and do plays and manipulatives and toys and things like that. We know the most important, powerful thing is the Word of Christ. It's the lessons they teach them that can't be seen, but they will be evidence in their lives. So I thank you for your love and for your prayers, and thank you for your perseverance.